there's a movement in church circles that's been going on for the last decade or two to really try to look at the best practices of vital congregations and then encourage other individuals and congregations to embrace those best practices. Some of those best practices that have been outlined or discerned in this movement are things like transformative service and invigorating Bible study. These are things that are marks of a vital congregation and a vital faith life. The one I'd like to have us focus on today is extravagant generosity. Extravagant generosity. Our gospel today, we hear, "Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give unto God that which is God's." It's a trick question that the Pharisees ask. And it's important for us, it sounds pretty simple, but it's important for us to look at the nuances of this story. First off, we need to remember that the Pharisees were a group of people who were very interested in a very strict interpretation of the law. It's also important for us to remember that Jesus was talking in a time in which the all of Palestine was under Roman imperial rule. So the money that would have been being used in Jesus' time would have had Caesar's image on it, just as ours does today. You look at our coins and we see George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or whomever. That ends up being important because, remember, our Pharisees were strict interpreters of the law. When Jesus asks them to show what it is that they would give to pay their taxes, these strict interpreters of the law, who are standing in the temple right now, reach into their pockets and show that they have broken the second commandment. They are carrying around graven images of a false idol. Because it's also important for us to remember that Caesar told everyone that he was God. So they're carrying around images of a false god. That is the conundrum, the loaded question that we end up hearing in this gospel today, that they are carrying around images of a false god, and in it, reminding them of their idolatry, Jesus is able to stop the question there and then start talking about what's really important. And of course, what's really important is that he tells us that, sure, go ahead, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but give unto God that which is God's. Now, we know what is Caesar's because it's marked with Caesar's image. So how do we know what is God's? How do we know what belongs to God? Everything, yes. If we go back to the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, we are told that we are made in God's image and likeness, that we are imprinted with God's image. And therefore, all of creation is imprinted with God's image. And therefore, we are to give our entire lives, our entire being to God. That's flipping the script. I find that incredibly powerful. I think it's so moving to be able to have Jesus tell us we need to give God all that we are. But I also know that that can be so massive that it doesn't have meaning. Sometimes when a project is too big, we get lost. so many of us will say, well, I can't give God everything. I need to pay the light bill. I need to eat. I need to be able to put a roof over my head. The kids need shoes. We can't give God everything. And so I think it's important for us to understand a spirituality of generosity, and instead of just thinking of giving God everything to start with, think of what motivates our generosity. A little over 10 years ago, Warren Buffett pledged 85% of his wealth to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. 85% of his wealth. He had absolutely no reason that he needed to do this. He could have simply distributed it among his heirs, and they could have lived lavish lives for probably 10, maybe even 20 generations with how much he has amassed. But he chose to. And when Bill Gates was interviewed by Bill Moyers on PBS shortly after that announcement of that gift was made, Bill Gates was asked, why are you so generous? Why is the alleviation of third world disease, and why is education so critical to you? And he talked about some motivations that aren't his. He talked about three of the major motivations that people have lifted up to him over the years. One is economic. If we alleviate malaria in a country, that will raise the gross national product of that country. That country will be more productive. There will be more not only producers in that country, but then consumers. And the whole world is better off economically. Another motivation that people lift up often is the motivation around stability. If we are able to eradicate poverty in a given unstable country, there is less likelihood for organizations like ISIS or Boko Haram. And so it's a stability or stabilizing factor that motivates some people to try to change the world. Yet a third motivation is that of proximity. Think of the spread of Ebola or the Zika virus. In a world that is globalizing, some people say that the reason that we need to be about world health is because we are so able to move that other people's health will affect us, and therefore we need to take care of the world for our own health. So Bill Gates went through all three of those motivations and then said, and those are all wrong. And as a Christian pastor, I would agree with him. I think that as followers of Jesus, those are not our primary motives. Some of those may be compelling to you, but as a follower of Jesus, our central motivation for generosity needs to be exactly what Bill Gates laid out. He said the reason that he is generous is because there is a need and he has the resources to address it. There's a need and we have the resources to address it. Put another way, there are people of God, people who have been made in God's image and likeness, who are hurting, and we have the means to address it. Generosity is something that is motivated out of grace. We all have received so powerfully from God. God loves us at the core of who we are, has given us this wonderful community, this life, this, all that we are. And the only response is to, in turn, take care of God's world. This, of course, comes in the midst of our stewardship season. We are working on our pledge campaign this year, month, and I talk with you about generosity in part because I really hope to inspire you to think about what it is that this church means to you and how much you value what this church does. But I also talk with you about this because a spirituality of generosity ends up permeating all that we are and all that we do. I will tell you flat out that I wasn't able to pledge very much at my last church. My finances were such and my situation was such that I really wasn't able to give a lot. And I felt badly about it. I was never comfortable with how little I was able to give. And so when Scott and I got married, we talked and prayed and decided that we would tithe my income. We give 10% of my income back to this church, not because we want to pay the light bill, maybe a little bit because we believe in what this church is doing, but mostly because we are so abundantly grateful for a community that is able to address the needs of the world, a community that is open to each and every one of you and says that you all belong here, that this church is mission, not just doing mission. And we believe in that so strongly, and we are so grateful for it, that the only response we have is to give. Friends, the theme of this year's stewardship season is living in grace, giving with gratitude. When we understand grace, when we understand that God has blessed us abundantly, our response is one of joy and of hope and of generosity. And I will tell you that in my life as a pastor and as an individual, that every time that I have embarked in generosity, there has been godly magnificence. And every time that I have been miserly, that is what I have received. We're told today, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to the world what the world asks of you. But live in grace. Give to God that which is God's. And that's not just your pledge, it's your heart. Giving to your partner generously. Giving to your neighborhood generously. Giving to God is living a life that acknowledges that we are graced and are here to therefore grace others. May we live that life, and may we, in doing so, give unto God that which is God's. Alleluia and amen.